There are debates within Kiddushin. There are even debates about Gittin. There are debates within Gittin and Kiddushin about Minui Shliach and Bitol Tnai, things of that sort. It's a very lively topic, and of course our issue is to apply the Din of Nisuin to to Edei Kiyum, yes or no. And in that, as we noted, the only Rishon that I'm aware of that really speaks about it explicitly is Tosfos Ri HaZaken, who assumes yes. And the Rambam certainly omits it in very striking fashion. We would have expected it, and it isn't there. And our analysis yesterday was that the Or Sameach and the Avnei Nezer discuss this in terms of technically whether there's any additional Chavlach Rini after Erusin, before Nisuin, and then when you add Nisuin, is there any additional elements of Chavlach Rini, which is a very reasonable methodology. And I was suggesting that without, this is my speculation, that Reb Chaim just had to have a whole different reading of Chavlach Rini, and that, in light of the, what I call the Ritva / Reb Chaim perspective on Edei Kiyum, as really Edei Kiyum, not just the Birur, the whole question of whether Nisuin qualifies becomes our question. I mean, how do we really relate to and understand the nature and character of Nisuin? So as I was talking about this whole issue, I threw out a line in which I said that the Arzarua, when he talks about the Kiddushin, talks about the Sugi and Kiddushin, Daf Nun of Sablanus, Shaleach Sablanus seems to practically deny the whole notion of Edei Kiyum. So obviously you can't deny it completely because it's explicit Gemara in Kiddushin. But what I really meant to say was that he, more than, let's say, any other makar practically, treats it as in very pragmatic fashion, meaning really the question of the birur and the question of having birur for significant consequences is all that we're concerned about. There's no notion that per se there has to be edus, to such an extent that he really even thinks that you can substitute edus for a very strong umdah. So I just wanted to explain what that marker was for just a minute. And it's the Arzarua in one of the tshuvas. It's Tafshin Samach. Okay, so that is, 760. It's a tshuva of Rabbeinu Simcha, actually, not of the Arzarua himself. Tshuva of Rabbeinu Simcha Brab Shmuel. So, he says as follows: Ma shivcha la savlanus, schorani uvda mimori rabenu, right? Shidech bito leben achiv, shasavar shaya pikeach. He married his daughter. He wanted to marry his daughter off to his nephew, and he assumed that the nephew was, a fine and upstanding and healthy young man. Benimsal hafech v'lo rotzel lekonsa. So after the shiduchin, right? I guess he didn't know the nephew as well as he thought. And, that can't happen bizman hazeh, right? Bitzrichi mori Rabbeinu Yehuda get mipnei savlanu shashalach. So the question is, can you just get away with, it wasn't mekadesh, seemingly. He sent a gift, to the kala. So do you need a get from that or not? That's the question. Mikomakom. Mikoach halacha ein biyadi. He was makbid habaget, and he said, "Mikomakom mikoach halacha ein biyadi." Ki abaya dachad yukad matzisim l'shteitz. The whole sugya in kiddushin nunu mideis about chashinan or lemiut or not, and savlanus and so on. Galapiruch rach mashmad nemanim lomer shalay kiddushin kamosha kasavta, and so on. So then he says in the hemshech, "Vim tomar filo in piresh." Let's say that when he sent this savlanus, he sent it and he even said, I want to be Mekadesh with this Savlanus. It isn't just a gift. I'm excited at the prospect. I want this to be Kesef Kiddushin. Okay? But, Im lo Kiddush be'edim, ein choshen le'kiddushav. Afilim shneim modim. Shouldn't make a difference, because at the end of the day, if you don't have edim on the receipt of this Savlanus, l'shem Kiddushin, right, even if shneim are modim, that it came, there are no edim, that's against the Gemara in Kiddusha. So he says, "Ikal meimar midi dehava kidshal tnai bekinsa stam," which happens to be our next Gemara that we're going to discuss. He's Mekadesh al Tanai, and then he was Kinsa Stam. Damrinan, right? Gamru, Baal Lashem Kiddushin. Now, the Pashas of the Gemara is that Baal Lashem Kiddushin is, and therefore he's Mochel. That's a person's Mekadesh al Tanai. The Tanai would be Ma'akev the Kiddushin. Then he was in Machnisa Lechupa, and the point is that, you know, probably the Tanai is no longer going to be Ma'akev. There's an implicit Mechila. And even then, as we know, there's a debate between the Rambam and the Raibid, which we've made reference to, whether you need Eidei Kiyum for Bitol Tanai, Begitin Bekidushin, or not. But the way the way Rabbeinu Simcha is interpreting it is a little bit different, and that is that maybe the Maisa Bia, right, is itself the Mekadesh, and then he adds a Maisa B'chol Yom, right, HaMekadshim Yisomos Ketanos, She'inanu Matzrichin Oso Lekadsha Pamacheres Begadlusan. Right, when you're Mekadesh Kiddushei Miyun, you have Yisomos Ketanos, it's only Chal Drabanan, but the assumption is that when she becomes a Gedola, that the Kiddushin is Chal Minat Torah. And the question is, why do you assume that? You don't need Lekadsha Pamacheres Begadlusan. Now, of course, there, number one, you might say there's something to the original Miyun. When we learned Yavamos, we saw there were some people actually think that. That Miyun isn't, you know, completely drabanan, although it's mostly drabanan. In other words, once it reaches that later stage, so then, you know, igoy milsala mafreya, that there was more to it. Moreover, that's simply a case of what we call hein hein ede yichud, hein hein ede bia, together with einanam osa bilasa bilas nus. Can you apply the same thing in dine mamanus, right, in shlichas sablonus? And he says, "Vafilu leika." Well, he's sensitive to that, so he says, "Vafilu leika ede yichud." Is that really true? Bedavar ze danti kvar lefnei moreinu akadosh kim od hayolibi nokfi bedavar ze ad sheni sover sheheira Hashem einai bedavar ze shekol chazaka sheena posekes omedes b'makom edim bein b'mamon bein bedavar shebe'erva ki kol chazaka sheena posekes hiba mikoach rov. And then he adds afilu b'dinei nefashos. I'm skipping a little bit. Some chinah chazaka shene posekes hachanami son lememar kol chazaka kol shaleach savlanus lachar shiduchim ho v'hem derech chasnus vaday b'toris kedushin shaleach ba'anan sadi dehachu ki'ilu kidsha b'faneinu usvarani dehu adin al kol shekenim shideich v'shuv kidsha below edim u'shnei amodim. There's even more. In other words, the case of the Gemara in Kedushin where you have you know, Mekadesh, there it's Bifnei Nechar at least. Let's say it was Mekadesh Beino Levein Atzma and Shnei Amodim. So that's why the Gemara dismisses that this is Kiddushin, not Kiddushin at all, because it requires Eidim, right? It's called Lachrini. So basically, the Rabbi Nusimcha here in this Tshuva, printed in the Arzarua, is suggesting that there can be conditions under which that will actually be Chal Minat Torah. And that the default case there is a case where there's not enough of a rove to begin with. So then it's Hodos Baldin, and it's Chav Lachrini, and we don't believe them. But Im Shideich, if there's a Shiduchin first, and then Kidsha below Eidim, Ushnei Amodim, that's an unbelievable Kiddush. The Hava Kiddushin Ma'alya. Kol Hechad Kimlan Daito, below Amiraso Samchina Nachazaka. Avlim shnei modim ein choshen lekiddushin haynu belo shiduchin afid roinu nichnas etzlo biyadu chefetz shavar pruta v'nasala. That wouldn't work because leka chazaka afidu kitcha beferush ushnei modim, it wouldn't make a difference. So this is a remarkable. This is the arzarua that this is the tshuva in the arzarua that I was referring to in the footnotes here in the newer edition of the arzarua. He points out that, you know, initially the Trumas Hadeshin also quotes this and goes with it, and the Urayim may have gone with this idea. Certainly the Merach Or Zeruah, the son of the Or Zeruah, Reb Chaim Or Zeruah, and Simon Chavav went along with this idea. But then he points out that in a later tshuva of the Merach Or Zeruah, in the newly printed tshuvas of the Merach Or Zeruah, they found a few more, in Simon Beis, that he is kozer from this whole thing, and he says there that Heinan Eichud Heinan Ibiya, we discuss the whole discussion there, but in the end he is kozer even in this case from the requirement of a get, never mind that it should be Vadai Kiddushin, that Anan Sadi doesn't have any place in Davar Shebeherva. Okay. don't know if it's in general in Davar Shebe'erva or specifically in Gittin V'Kiddushin where perhaps you require Eidei Ki. Anyways, the point is that this is the most extreme that I'm aware of in the Rishonim of the idea that basically there's no din of Eidei Ki. There's just a din of Birur, and it's a high stakes game, and therefore the level of Birur has to be even more mefurash than typically. Even then, you could, of course, reject the tshuva of Avinu Simcha. But the point is, if it's on the plane of Vadai Birur and guaranteeing Vadai Birur, so then the possibility that you could substitute, you know, some other very strong Birur, Anansadi, or, and, you know, the combination of, let's say, Shiduchin first and then Anansadi, or something like that, that you could reread the Gemara in Kiddushin, that becomes all plausible. But obviously, the more you think that there's a requirement of Eidei Birur, Tzorach Eidei Birur, and certainly Kol Shekein, if you think that it's really the form of Eidem L'Kiyume Milsa, then this just becomes absolutely impossible. So it's interesting that along the way, I don't want to get too involved in this, I just want to make two or three very quick references. Along the way, the Tshuva of Rabbi Simcha makes note of Hein Hein Eidei Yichud, Hein Hein Eidei Bia. And that's an interesting question. So in general, there's a big machlokas, Rishonim. This is not the only tshuva that deals with the question of a strong umdana for Kiddushin. Right, there's a famous tshuva, the Rashba, which is off-quoted, especially by the Achronim. Again, the Avnei Milui made it very, very popular. But it's a well-known tshuva, where people overhear this fellow goes into a room, he has like an esrog in his hand. Why an esrog, I'm not sure, but it's definitely seasonal. So, and it's Hadar. So he walks into the to the room with his esrog, and then they hear him saying to the woman, Harat Mukadeshusli, the esrog zeh. And then, they all walk out and they're all both smiling and she's like, tossing the esrog up and down, or maybe she's just holding on to it for, to make sure that I'm not sure if it was a pitamless esrog or was it. But the point is that the Rashba says unequivocally that, that is not going to work, for Kiddushin. And there's a whole discussion in the Chachmei Ashkenaz, what's the difference between cases like that. And basically, that's, by the way, that's kind of what Rabbeinu Simcha is also saying. Right? But here, let's say it's not, he hears, but, without, it's a shmiya b'li, re'iya. Or maybe the point is even more, it's a shmiya b'li yediya. So there's a whole literature in Chachmei Ashkenaz, Tshuvas Maimonios and Mordechai and others, to try to explain what the difference is between Hein Hein Eidei Yichud, Hein Hein Eidei Bia, and cases like this, Umdana cases, which don't seem to work. So what the there are different answers in the Tshuvas Maimonios and Mordechai. But it would seem that one can say several different things. One thing is to say that Hein Hein Eidei Yichud, Hein Hein Eidei Bia is qualitatively a different kind of umdana, than the umdana of the esrog, and that in several different ways. Number one, because it's more anticipatory, as opposed to just reconstructive. In other words, if I'm sitting in the next room and I see this fellow walking in, with an esrog, I don't anticipate that he's going to be Mekadesh and Isha with it. And once I hear, him saying Harat Mekudeshesli, that's something else. But certainly before it happens, it's not subject to anticipation. But, because of the Iser Yichud and because of the physical elements involved in Hein Eidei Yichud, Hein Hein Eidei Bia, that is an anticipatory, not a reconstructed, retrospective, but a prospective you know, kind of an umdara. That seems to be the thrust of some of the Rishonim and some of the Achronim in making the distinction. Now, the question is how to assess that difference. So one way to assess it is in very pragmatic, you know, and quantitative terms, namely, how strong is this umdara? When does an umdara become, you know, an ansadi? And we're not just like here, the Rabbeinu Simcha is discussing, you know, a shmua shena posekes, you know, it's a rove, it's a strong rove, you know, and so on and so forth. But then the point is that give me a good solid rove, even without edim, and that'll work for kedushin, because it's really, you know, a little birur hadavar in the end of the day, just it's the level, the threshold of birur that we require is greater because the consequences, the stakes are greater. Or is the point that the difference between an anticipatory and a reconstructed umdana is qualitative? And the idea is that when you can predict something, so it isn't just a, the way I would formulate it, it's not just an umdana of yediya, it becomes in part an umdana of ri'ya, in the sense that the part that you see, right, is mitzuref to the part that you don't see. So because you're anticipating, in a way, you know, what you see becomes the tchila samaisa. And therefore there is Eide Ri'iyah. Enough to be considered the Eide Kiyum of the Ritva and Reb Chaim, apparently. Maybe even that. So basically what we're asking is, when Eidus Umdana is going to work, cases where Eidus Umdana will seemingly work for Kedushin, is it Bitoris Yediya with an acknowledgement? Normally we call Umdana Yediya below Ri'iyah. I'm using the language of the Gemara in Masechet, you know, Sanhedrin, you know, and the famous story of, you know, Shimon ben Shetach, you know, with the bloody, you know, knife or sword, the sword, right? You know, that's called Yediya below Ri'iyah. What I'm saying is, when it works, is it really B'toras Yediya below Ri'iyah? And the levels of Yediya are what we're fighting about? Or it's really that becomes a hagdara of ri'iya by virtue of the umdana, because normally A leads to, it's almost like a psikresha issue, which we're going to be discussing this year again as well, right, when we get to Nafzayin Amud Aleph. But it's almost like a psikresha issue. If A inexorably, you know, leads to B, and if that's, you know, in an anticipatory way, not just in a reconstructive way, then what you might say is that B really begins at the time of A. So you've seen B by seeing A. In which case, that would not work, presumably, well at all in the case of, you know, savlanos and things of that sort. Moreover, what you might say is that this is a special, it's also one of the Lashonis of the Rishonim, this is a special din in Hein Eide Yichud, Hein Eide Bia. Because in addition to the powerful forces, you know, at work, right, the Tznius aspect, and the idea that, you know, Eide Yichud, I'm sorry, that Eide Kiddushe Bia anyway, you know, is a more delicate, you know, kind of a thing, that determines that even Hein Eide Yichud, Hein Eide Bia, meaning you're not supposed to be seeing, you know, the Maisa in graphic sense. And consequently, the Hagdara of what constitutes, you know, Ri'iyas, Maisa Bia, for purposes of Eide Kiyum, is different than it is in other things. Then, even if you had other anticipatory umdanas, you might not just be able to plug that in and say, oh, that's the equivalent of Hein Eide Yichud, Hein Eide Bia. So I think, the extension of Rabbeinu Simcha's tshuva here is, you know, in addition to everything else, says something about his wider understanding of what Hein Eide Yichud, Hein Eide Bia is. There's a third possibility too, or fourth, not sure what we're up to, and that is that maybe Kiddushe Bia just doesn't require Eide Kiyum in the same sense that that, you know, the other Darke Kiddushin require it. In the sense that, you know, to turn Kesef and Shtar into a Maisa Ishus and not only transcendent in terms of its consequences, which we've been talking about, you know, Chav Lachrini, who I'm interpreting Chav Lachrini, you know, in the name of the Ritva and Reb Chaim at least, but, you know, just, you know, turning this into a Maisa Ishus as opposed to a Kinyan Sadek, you know, Kicha Kicha, etc. So for that, the presence of Edim, what I call their solemnizing presence, their formalizing presence, you know, to quotation mark this whole event, you know, is necessary. But when it comes to Kiddushe Bia, what you might say is that that's the Mefurish Makra one, that's Ishus. And this, of course, you know, is part of a, I don't want to get deeply involved in Kiddushin right now, but, you know, Isha nicknames Begimbal Drachim, you know, just like we're going to talk about Chuppah, whether there's more than one type of Chuppah emphasizing, different components in the Suin, so too, you know, the more explicit Gimel Darke Kiddushin, also the question arises, is the Kesef and the Shtar and the Bia all the same? In which case, the Kesef and the Shtar are like the Bia, or the Bia is like the Kesef and the Shtar, and Bia turns into more like a Kinyan Chazaka. There's evidence of that, you know, as well. Or no, there really are three different emphases. There's the, you know, the you know, Choshen Mishpat import, you know, the formalizing of Kesef. There's Shtar, which is something in between, because it's uniquely about, it's an Eben Ezer Kinyan, this particular one, it's V'yatza V'hoysa, you know, it's connected to Gittin, not to other Shtaros, but, you know, it is still in a Kinyanesque or Kinyani-esque kind of a mode. And then there's Kinyan, you know, Kinyan Bia, which obviously is directly, the very fact that the Gemara, we'll talk about this more, but the fact that the Gemara has a Habamina, the Gemara has a Safek, rather, you know, whether or not to be a Nisuinosa or Erisinosa, that you could, you know, skip phase two, or at least, you know, mostly skip phase two with Kiddushei Bia, is surely significant. The fact that the Torah is explicit, you know, about Kiddushei Bia is surely significant. There may be nafkemina, you know, between the two. The Yerushalmi, in the beginning of Kiddushin, has this discussion, you know, whether or not, when it comes at least to a, it could be that, you know, the only Ishus that we recognize for a non-Jew, for Ben Noach, and we do recognize Ishus, is through Ma'isa Bia. That's what the Gemara seems to say. Actually, two Girsos, whether it's Nisuin or Ma'isa Bia, which is fascinating also, right? Tefila Adamaya Pogei Shuk, Kambatza Huvrat Stahi, you know, and so on. But there are two Girsos on that question. But then the question is the Ma'isa Bia, which creates an Ishus for Ben Noach, Yerushalmi's quotes a debate, is that only Bekavana or even Mimela? Now, the possibility that there would be an Ishus, you know, without Kavana, without Das, very directly related to what we're talking about. It's not 1,000% sure that the Yerushalmi happens to be talking in the context of Akum. Some of the Mefarshim say this question is only about Akum. There are some Achronim who wondered whether or not the level of Das, let's say, that you require in Kiddushei Bia might not be different than the level of Das that you require elsewhere. There's a whole list to be made of the possible differences between Kiddushei Bia and so when we talk about Afkin Rabbanu LeKiddushim and Afgimel and Ksuvos, we'll speak much more about this, because what happened with Kiddushei Bia is also a fascinating thing in that it's the Mefurish Bakra. Right, and then the Gemara says in Kiddushin, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, that Rav Mangid Amanda Mekadish Bia, right? That they decided, to discourage it, and according to some Rishonim, they even canceled it. However, they did that. We'll discuss it. Anyways, the point is that Kiddushin Bia could be the best and could be the worst, because on the one end it's Ishus, right? On the other hand, it's Ishus too quickly, in a way. Right? And therefore, it's always kind of on the edge. It's an edgy way of Ishus. Either more beneficial and advantageous in certain things, if you can pull it off as a Davar Shebikdusha, and more prone to being problematic, and therefore even losing its status on the other hand. Okay. Anyways, so the part I'm trying to make is that maybe the din of Eidei Kiyum is different when it comes to Kiddushei Bia than it is to the other Darkei Kiddushin. Maybe that has something to do with Hein Hein Eidei Yichud, Hein Hein Eidei Bia, in addition to the other points I made before. So this last idea that maybe Eidei Kiyum, not that you don't need Eidei Kiyum, you certainly need Enochim. But the Enochim is more pragmatic to know that it happened. For the same reason that the Yerushalmi, at least when it comes to Akum, can consider that it's even Shalom Midas Lakadesh. That idea I once heard from Mori Barabi Rav Lichtenstein in a different context, but one which is very relevant as well. Because as I say, there's a whole issue about Kiddushi Umdana, Yediyah Belo Re'iyah. I'm just trying to explain that there are different ways to understand. Is it really Yediyah Belo Re'iyah, or is it really Al Pidin that's considered, you know, the Re'iyah that you have is a sufficient Tchilas Re'iyah, and so on and so forth. Anyways, there's a whole discussion about that issue. The Ksos has important pieces about Kiddushei Umdana and the question of Eidei Kiyum and so on. So one of the discussions of this also happens to be about Eidus Miuchedes. There's a Tosefta in Gittin that speaks about, the Rif quotes it in Rishachzo, and Lamed Hei Omid Beis and Dapia Rif. This is how the Tosefta goes. Ra'u Shnayim Shinis Yachta Imo, right? So this is a situation. There's a marriage, and he gives her a get. So the problem is that if he's misyached with her after he gave, or you know, he starts the process of giving her a get, put that way. He starts writing the get. So once that's the case, the Gemara in the end of Gittin discusses that, you know, that Yichud might undermine the get. Because we're worried that, you know, Libo Gospa, and they changed his mind, and that really he's Mekadesh her again, or he cancels the get. But the details aren't important for now. Anyways, this Tosefta says, Ra'u Shnaim Shenis Yachda Imo. Right, that tricha hemenu get sheni. Right, echad, if it was not one person who saw the yichud, but only one, ena tricha hemenu get sheni. Okay, echad b'shachris the echad bein rabayim zayim aisa v'amru ein mitzar. Okay, so again, if two witnesses evidence a yichud, then we assume that we have seen a second kiddush. If one sees it, that's mekadesh b'fnei d'achad and ein choshen l'kiddusha. Okay, but let's say one shachris and one arvis, meaning what we call edus miuchedes, right? So the Tosefta says we paskin that it's not mitzvah. That raises an interesting question: what is the status of edus miuchedes in kiddusha? Right? Edus Miuchedes works in Kiddushin or not? So here you have some interesting, basically the Tosefta, which the Rebbe is quoting, says it does not work. The question is, why doesn't it work? So of all people, here, the Rajba in Kiddushin and Daf Pei Aleph basically says the reason it doesn't work is because you need Eidei Kiyum, and Eidei Kiyum doesn't abide Edus Miuchedes. Has to have, you know, two Eidim bevasachas. That's a little interesting because the Rajba's view in general about, you know, Eidei Kiyum doesn't seem to be exactly the Ritva's, in that he, you know, as we discussed, both his understanding of Chavla Krini and his understanding of Gittin and so on. But whatever, here the Rajba is basically the advocate of a qualitatively different Eidei Kiyum. That's what the Rajba says. However, the Ran in Al Atar, here in Lamed Hei Amud Beis, Daf Yarif, in Bishachsu, in the second Ayin Gimel, in Gittin, has a different explanation. It says the reason Eidei Miuchedes doesn't work is not because, doesn't say anything about Eidei Kiyum. It says the reason is because the consequences of being an Eishes Ish are very severe, as we know. They have capital crime consequences, because if she's going to be Mizana, right, then she's going to be Chayiv Misa. And we know the rule is, from the Sugyas in Sanhedrin, that Eidus Miuchedes works in Dine Mamanus, it doesn't work in Dine Nefashos. Since this can lead to Nefashos, so Eidus Miuchedes doesn't work. That's the view of the Ran. But it sounds like, in theory, if Eidus Miuchedes had applied to Dine Nefashos, then in Achanami, it would have worked for Eidei Kiyum. And this is also the view of the Rav Yah. Rav Yah is a tshuva, in which he says even more than that. He says, fundamentally, Eidus Miuchedes, like this, Nadzra Echad, Eid Echad, Shacharis, and Echad, the Vishas Mincha, or Mariv, it doesn't matter when, right, would work. You'd be, that would be enough for Eidus, for Kiddusha. The only thing is that here, the whole thing is a Chumrah anyway, because we don't really know that there was Kiddushin, right? So we just know that there was Yichud. But since it was only Yichud, right, then the whole thing is a Chashash anyway, so we're not Choshesh under these conditions. But what emerges is that according to the Rav Yah, in principle, like for the Ran, but just, you know, Rav Yah is really saying this is a Din D'Rabbanan, that it doesn't work. The Ran is saying it doesn't work, but for a different reason. What they both have in common is that neither of them seem to be troubled by the lack of Edekim. So Edus Miuchedes, you know, of this sort, is again, we're not, there are two types of Edus Miuchedes, as is known. One is, you know, Edus Miuchedes of Ru'iyah. You know, and the other is, you know, Echod Michalon Zev, Echod Michalon Zev, and the other is of Zman. Right, here we're talking about what we call halva achar halva. This is kiddushin achar kiddushin. So they're basically two witnesses who are coming to court and saying that, you know, A was mekadesh B, but A was mekadesh B without A, without two A, both times. So the pashtus, you just say 0 + 0 = 0. Or no, if you think that you know, in theory there can be kiddushin without the presence of Edim, so then maybe, you know, Edus Miuchedes can really work that way. So that's goes on the list together with some other things of, you know, what kind of Edus will work whenever you require Edi Ki. But Rav Lichtenstein once wanted to suggest that maybe this this whole, you know, at least for the Ran and for the Rav Yah, this idea that Eidei Kiyum doesn't seem to be a fundamental definitional requirement, let's say, in this Tosefta Sugya, maybe that's because we're dealing with Yichud, basically dealing with Heinei Nid Yichud, Heinei Nid Bia. We're dealing with Kiddushei Bia. Maybe Kiddushei Bia doesn't need to be turned into an Ishus. Maybe it is an Ishus. It's only Kesef and Shtar that require that. So that is... you know, it just occurs to me that would just change the whole way that we look at Heinei Nid Yichud, Heinei Nid Bia as a paradigm for other umdanos as well. Anyways, that is the basic, there's many other things to talk about as well, but that's the basic idea of Eidei Kiyum. And now again, when we go back to the question of Nisuin and the question whether you need Eidei Kiyum for Nisuin or not, obviously this becomes a very critical nafkamina, a very critical part of the story, whether or not chuppah is a parallel to the kind of yitziras chalos of kiddushin or not. Now again, here I don't think you have to say that what's at stake is whether or not chuppah is considered to be a kinyan or just a, you know, matir or a, you know, hafkas, a ikuv. Even if you were to say that, you know, chuppah is a kinyan, that would be fine. I think what the question is whether or not chuppah is considered to be a continuation of yitziras achalos of ishus, therefore requiring the level of, you know, das and edikiyum and so on. And as far as that is concerned, that is going to be a major machlokes harishonim and a major machlokes achronim as well. Okay. So that's that brings us to the next point, which is Tanai and Shlichus. Yeah.
Is Arzura here assuming that there was Eidus on Shiduchim?
I don't think so, necessarily, but even if there was, the Shiduchim is not going to become Tchilas HaKiddushin. So it just would... I don't think so. But even if he did, it would just be part of the, I guess, way of being Mechazek, the umdana that follows as an anansadi, you know, in its own right. It's not, he's not suggesting that shiduchin would turn into kiddusha.
But could it be that if the shiduchin have a chalos d'oraisa,
have a
chalos d'oraisa,
yeah,
even says a silonus d'oraisa, or a chalos d'oraisa,
but not as kiddush, not as kesef kiddusha.
Right, maybe you could have the das kiddushin at the time of the shiduchin. shidduchim and kedushin becomes analogous to the relationship between kedushin and nisuin.
Well, not really, because you're still missing the edekium at the. Oh, you want to say there are not just ede, but edekium at the shidduchim?
Right.
I think it's dochek.
You have a das at the time of the shidduchim,
right? Right. I mean, I think way. I hear what you're saying. I think it's way ikar chasam and a sefer in this tshuva, but you know, again, we find that shiduchin does have some chalos status. Again, we'll get to it. Even things like shasimcha b'ma'ono, but to say that the shiduchin that you can have the das the kadesh at the time, to me, in other words, what I was saying the other day about gittin, you know, because gittin is a unilateral act, so then the idea. That already, you know, in the earlier stages, you could have the das lagaresh and you could have the edikium at that point, makes sense. But to say that in kiddushin at the time of the shiduchin, when you know you could be chozer and nothing really has happened yet, I find that to be very big chiddush. If you had somebody who said it, I'd be, you know, excited by it. But I, in the absence of somebody saying it, I'm skeptical. Which reminds me, again, this has to do with Edei Chasima in the sense that there's a major debate among the Rishonim whether Edei Chasima is Edei Kiyum. And again, I don't want to go into all the details, but the idea of Edei Chasima is that, you know, you basically have two Edim signing a document, right, which per se might be in a situation where they have seen nothing of the event. Like take Edei Chasima of a Shtar Kiddushin or a Get. Right, the Eid HaChasima sign before the Mesira. Now they might be around at the Mesira, they might not. They don't need to be around at the Mesira. Eid HaChasima Karsi doesn't require their having seen anything to work. Just that if the Shtar is Yotze Bitachas Yad of the Isha, in the case of Shtar Kiddushin or Get, Sof, then the Eid HaChasima work. So there's a major debate among the Rishonim whether or not Eid HaChasima can work as Edei Kiyum or not. That's what Shai, in his Gittin expertise, was memory recovering the other day, you know, on Dalet Amud Aleph, right? Rabbeinu Tam basically says that even if you hold Edei Chasima Karsi, that's not going to help you for Edei Kiyum. You're still going to need Edei Mesira for the Edei Kiyum. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says on Dalet Amud Aleph, right? So, exactly. Thank you. 100%. So the problem is that the Rambam and the Rif disagree with that. The Rif in the end of Hamagarish and the Rambam in Perak Aleph Hilchos Gerushin think, the Rambam says, you know, b'diavad, that Edei Chasima will work as Edei Kiyum as well. And what I was referring to the other day, that maybe there's a difference between Edei Kiyum of Gittin and Kiddushin, for the reasons that I'm explaining, have to do with that issue, because the Rambam in Hilchos Ishus does not mention that Edei Chasima works in Shtar Kiddushin alone. In other words, that you could use Edei Chasima for the Edei Kiyum. Sounds like the Rambam requires Dafka Edei Mesira, I'm guessing, because of the Edei Kiyum requirement of Kiddushin. So why in Kiddushin are Edei Chasima deficient and in Gerushin not? So what I was trying to say was, Edei Chasima is a great example of this thing, because it's hard to see them as a presence, because they've signed before the event took place. But what they do establish is a very strong umdana, even on an ansadi, that it took place, that it happened. In other words, when the isha carries, you know, a get or a shtar kiddushin, so al pi dinei ha'edim, we say the event took place. But the edim as people, as living, breathing human beings, they weren't there. So it's hard to say that they solemnized by their presence. They formalized this thing. They didn't. They weren't there, right? It's, you know, what I sometimes call, you know, the Ran speaks about the Edei Chasima as if they popped out of the, I call it the pop-out theory, but that's just, you know, being a little playful, I guess. But even if you believe in the pop-out theory, you know, they're still not people. You know, it's not like you need chairs for the pop-out Edom at the, you know, at the time of the get or the Shtar Kiddushin in Edei Chasima. So that's, again, this is another example where you have Raya, you have Birur, you have way sufficient Birur, because Edei Chasima are Karsi, you know, assuming that Mandamar, that they're Karsi. But what you don't have is the presence of Edim you know, to solemnize and formalize. And you know, that becomes a non-life community. So what I was trying to explain is that in get there are really two things happening. There's the das lagaresh, which may need formalization, but that takes place when the Baal says to the sofer, in the presence of two witnesses, you know, to be chosein the get. Because he's basically saying, I want to be megarish. Now, in Kiddushin, that wouldn't mean very much, for the same reason I was saying now, Shiduchin wouldn't mean very much, because it's too early, right? It's a consensual kind of a transaction, and, you know, everything is preparatory, right? That's not das lekadesh sufficiently. But in Gittin, which is Bal Korcha, he could do what he wants. He just has to decide if he wants to go through with it. So even the early stages before he's actually, you know, he could still back out, but the point is that he's inexorably marching towards this goal. No one can stop him, right? Midaraisa. And since that's the case, so we could look at this as Das Lagarish from the beginning. That's why I think, and again, I wouldn't dismiss it completely, but I think it just makes much more sense in Gittin, which is Bal Korcha, than it does in Kiddushin. So that's why I think that's why the Rambam says that the Eidei Chasima work, and he says, why do you even need Eidei Kiyum? He's talking about on the Maisa. He says, oh, because, you know, the consequences are great here, right? Lo Yitachein, you know, she's going to be Muteres Lashuk, and, you know, we're just going to take everybody's word for it. Why? Because this is monumental, right? So that's as far as the Maisa Gerushin is concerned. As far as the Das Lagaresh is concerned, you know, as far as that's concerned, there actually are Eidei Kiyum on the Das. You know, Eidei Kiyum in the more ambitious sense. Maybe. Anyways, that's really what's going on. Now let's get back to Tanai and Shliach. So Tanai and Shliach are categories that we know of in terms of Kiddushin, right? Tanai and Kiddushin, we know that that's possible, right? The third parak of Kiddushin is full of those cases. You know, just like the seventh parak of Gittin is full of those cases in Gerushin. And there are other cases. The first parak has some cases. But the point is that it's very, very prominent. You can't miss Tanai b'Kiddushin, b'Gerushin. Okay. Shlichus b'Kiddushin and b'Gittin, right? Also very, very prominent. Right, the whole second parak starts with Ish Mekadesh Bo B'Shulcha, Isha Miskadeshes Bo B'Shulcha. The sixth parak of Gittin is about you know, Shlichus, Shlich LaHalacha, Shlich LaKabbalah, all the exciting, you know, issues connected therein. So the fact that there are Tanayim and there are Shlichus in Gittin and Kiddushin, as there are in Dine Maminis, is a given. There's no controversy about that. However, the background of all this is that the Gemara says in Ksuvas, on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, that when it comes to Chalitza, there's no Tanai. Right? You can't impose a Tanai on a Chalitza. Why not? Why can't you? David? Why can't you impose a Tanai on a Chalitza? You can do it on a get, you can do it on a kiddushin, why not a chalitza? Sounds highly discriminatory. Did you get a chance to see it, the Gemara 9 Dalet? Think so, this? No? Don't know?
I mean, is it possible because there's no proceedings about
it? Yeah, that's what the Gemara says, right? The Gemara says that the reason that there's no t'nai in chalitza is kol she'yesh na b'shlichus yesh na b'tnai, kol she'ena b'shlichus ena b'tnai. Now, as the Gemara draws an equation between shlichus and tanai, why is there no shlichus bechalitza? Ah, that's a tricky question. Apparently, there's no shlichus bechalitza, right? And since there's no shlichus bechalitza, there's no tanai bechalitza either. So then, the achronim, that same massive Or Sameach piece, right, where he talks about Eidei Kiyum. The Or Sameach is also mistapek. What about Nisuin? Is there Tanai bin Nisuin? Is there Shlichus bin Nisuin? Right? It's not clear in the Gemara. And the question is to analyze it. So, well, the truth is the Gemara has one other discussion in addition to the Chalitza. Avinon? In the Gemara in Ksuvos. You have the Gemara in Ksuvos? Just look at it very quickly. Very important Gemara. I now have a real Gemara, so give me an opportunity to open it up. What do we have there? Have you known? Want to do Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph? Let's do it quickly. Come, let's we want to get moving because we want to get through this. Well, first of all, the context is the Gemara talks about this is also the Gemara that talks about whether or not if you're Mekadesh Al Tanai, right? We mentioned this already. And then what happens? What's that? If you're Mekadesh Al Tanai and then you are Nichnas L'Chuppah, right? So do you need a but you didn't fulfill the Tanai, right? What happens under those? Hamakadish al Tanai, Baal, Divrakol ain't Tricha Himenu get. This is the same Gemara that was just quoted in the Or Zarua, right? Question is, how does it really work? He understood because the Maisa Bia is a separate Kiddushin. Pashtus is because the once you were Nichnas Lechupar, once you were Boel, that implies a Mechilas HaTanai. We'll talk about this, the Gemara, another time. Either way, doesn't this Gemara already prove that there's Tanai ben Nisuin? That's what the Gemara talks about, right? Whether or not there's Tanai ben Nisuin. No? HaMekadish Altai, Bal Devarakol, Enet Tzvichei Menuget. This is what we call Tanai ben Nisuin. Ain't, right? So the answer is no. Here we're talking about a Tanai b'Kiddushin. And we want to know whether or not it's either irrelevant because it was substituted for by a different method of Kiddushin, right? Or that implicitly the Tanai was Batel. Now that's why this is part of the Gemara also, the part of the Rambam and Raivid discussion. Can you be Mevatel a Tanai Stam without Edim and getting the Kiddushin? Right, that's why it's an important Gemara. Okay. Go ahead. So then the Gemara goes on to speak about Chalitza. Go ahead. That's just mutas, right? Because that's ridiculous. The chalitza doesn't lead to knisa, the chalitza leads to yitzia, right? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, you need to have proper kavana. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Oh. You made a tnai in the chalitza. Right, this is where the Gemara seems to say that the yisod of mekadesh, right, al tnai v'achakach baal, is based on mechilas at tnai. Right, same thing in chalitza. Kivin David Maisa chuli achal tnai. Amalei, that's the Gemara thought. Amalei bar beirav. Shaper Kamras. Question mark, right? That would mean Mechti. No, Pnai de God of Neruvain, period. Right? Or colon. Go ahead. So what's he saying? The reason that Chalitza, right, a bitnai is effective, is not because of an implicit mechila, but because there's no shlichus, and therefore there's no tanai. Here's why the Gemara has this principle that there's a connection between shlichus and tanai. Correct? Then the Gemara says, and this is what I was asking you, is there another case of where the Gemara tests whether or not shlichus and tanai are the same? Right? Oh!
The
Kiddushei Bia, right? Lashel Kumai De Shliach. Piyasam. Me can't be Mekadesh Bibia Al Manas Shetitein Lach, you know, Masayim Zuz, or whatever. Can you? Do we ever find that that Kiddushei Bia, unlike Kesef and Shtar, is not subject to Tanaim? Gemara assumes not. But it's certainly not subject to Shlichus, right? Go ahead. Oh. Okay. So now the question is, this is a, again, we're interested, let's remember what we're interested in. We're trying to figure out, because, and I'm suggesting it isn't totally coincidental, but either way, whether it is or isn't coincidental, right? For whatever reason, the Torah Shebaal Peh gave us much less evidence about Nisuin than it did about Kiddushin or Yibum or Chalitza, right? With regard to a whole bunch of things, the level of Das, the status of Ketana, whether you need Edekiyum, right? And that includes also this question whether or not there's Shlichus B'Nisuin and whether there's Tanai B'Nisuin. So what do we do? You do the next best thing, right? If you don't have an explicit source, so you use your intelligence, you know, and together with proper halachic methodology, right? You try to extrapolate from the information, from the sources that you have, and from the, you know, from the principles that you have, right? So we want to know, what about Nisuin L'Shlichos and Nisuin L'Tanai? And that's why we're turning to this Gemara, because this Gemara has a rule that would seem to connect the two together. Kol she'eshu b'shlichos yeshu b'tanai, kol she'enu b'shlichos leika b'tanai. That's a rule in Chalitza. But now we also know that it isn't so simple, because on the one hand that's true in Chalitza, but it's not true in Kiddushei Bia. Okay, iska shavai isla dadi. Now the question's going to be, for one, for the other, and for the connection, is Nisuin like Kiddushei Bia? Or like Chalitza? Right? We thought we were going to get an easy answer, you know, based on you know, good logical methodology, and you know, we have another question now, another layer, you know, to unravel. The answer is it depends how you understand chuppah. It also depends on how you understand, well, you know, why it is that there is such a klal to begin with, and why there's an exception to that klal. Okay. But now let's actually plug those, or detail, or specify what we mean by all those things I just said. What are those questions? Ah. So let's talk about, for a second, Iska Shavayis La'adad, the question and the answer of Kiddushei Bia. Okay? So, Eitan, how do you understand that? You more comfortable? Let me put it this way: you more comfortable with the answer? You think the answer is a bigger chiddush or the question? Are you happy with the answer?
I'm more comfortable with the questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're saying this out of your own free will. There's no totally vizavim. You're more comfortable with the question.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you understand the answer?
That they all accomplish kiddushin.
The kind of gzeres hakasuv, or there's a logic to the answer. There's no right or wrong answer. I'm just saying. I'm just trying to figure out.
I think you could say it in two ways. You could say that it's more gzeres hakasuv, and they're all just accomplishing kiddushin, or you could say that they're all accomplishing more the kinyan aspect of kiddushin. And we see that anytime you have the kinyan of kiddushin, you can have it tonight.
Good. So you're suggesting that there's something going on here, and that is implicit from what you're saying, let's say. You're saying like this. If you want to focus on the physical part of Kiddushei Bia, then the question is stronger and the answer is weaker, or bigger chiddush anyway. But if the point is that you want to focus on the kinyan, or we'll say the chalos, that's created as a result of Kiddushei Bia, right? That's Bia not as a intimate personal, you know, experience, but as a kinyan of kiddushin, so then basically what you're saying is the answer makes a lot of sense, right? The question is defeated. Is that accurate? Kind of?
So,
What?
Oh, that's so nice of you. Thank you. Probably more experience. But I'm just, you know, trying to read your mind. Or interpret your words, even better. Okay. So basically, you're 100% right. So basically, it depends on how you understand both the Tanai and Kiddushei Bia and Chalitza. And there are basically two, broadly speaking, approaches, exactly what you just said. Okay. One is to say that, let's start with approach number one, and that is that the Gemara here is a kind of Masorah, because it's derived from Psukim, right? Yehuda isn't here right now, but you know, maybe Gabe will find some, you know, Makar that shows that it really isn't the Psukim, but in the text that we have, or Yeshua, but in the text that we have, there's no Makar for Kol She'eshu B'Shlichus Yeshu B'Tanai, Kol She'eshu B'Shlichus Yeshu B'Tanai. Correct? And indeed, who points that out? David? Who points out that there's no... It's not Xeris HaKasuv. On the page. You get a chance to see it? Yosef? Who points it out? Usher? Jonathan? Tosus! What did Tosus say?
Well, he's sort of bothered by the fact that they're just... He talks about the Makor is made up for Ruben, but he's sort of bothered by the fact. Like, because it just happens to be a Tanai that he's done by Shaleach doesn't mean all Tanais can be done by Shaleach.
Right, I mean, where do you draw the line? I mean, I shouldn't have said maybe that it's not Xeris HaKasuv. Although, it's right. Meaning, it's not like the Gemara doesn't say there's no Makar, the Gemara just doesn't say it's Xeris HaKasuv. The Gemara says, oh, we learned Tanayim from B'nai Gad B'nai Ruvain. Right? And B'nai Gad B'nai Ruvain was Nitan al Yidei Shliach. So apparently, Kol She'eshu B'Shlichus is Yeshu B'Tanai. The flaw with that, and that's what Tosfos is pointing to, and that's what Jonathan is telling us, is. So, how do you figure out, you know, it's like our last year's discussions, you know, about the Mishkan, right? The Mishkan plays a very important role in Shabbos. How important a role? How technically important a role? A big, big, big debate by the among the Rishonim, schools of Rishonim. Okay, but fine. Everybody agrees it plays some role, and everybody agrees that there are some limits to the roles that it plays. Well, why are there some limits to the roles that it plays? Because there are certain things that, obviously, there were certain factual things about what happened in the Mishkan, which don't translate into the halachos because they're just not significant enough. They're not legally consequential, right? You're not going to say that, that the color of the dye matters. Oh, but they only used this and that color dye. They didn't use the other and its correlates dye, right? And you're not going to say, that there's hotzah or there's hachnasa, but it depends on the weight of what you're carrying, right? So not according to the Ramban, who's like obsessed with, carrying pianos, from one corner of the Rosh Hashanah to the other. Okay, but anyways, see, wasn't that good nostalgia? The point is, whenever you have a makor like this, a very important makar, you always have to figure out, you always have to be discerning, right, what is legally consequential. So that's basically what Tosfos is asking. Tosfos says, in Tomar, Jonathan, go ahead. Ma svara yeshkan. I mean, Tosfos doesn't want to say it's a Xeris HaKasuv alone. There needs to be a svara. Why? Go ahead. Jonathan? Right, no one ever said that Tanai B'Dagav Ruvain is limited to Karka because it happened to be a huge real estate issue, for the Shvatim. Right? And no one ever said that it's only on a Tuesday. Right? And no one ever said, it's only if it's, the Rosh Matos. Right, because that's not logical. That, what does that have to do with the question of conditions? Right, if you can make a condition for real estate, presumably you can make, unless you can give me some very good reason why real estate transactions are fundamentally different than, we could probably give some, but not good enough in this case. Without learning Kosk Sabatim, that would also be nostalgic. But the point is, even with a makar, right, it has to make sense, it has to work. So what is Tosfos answer? Go ahead. Yeah. Aval chalitza. Namir me beit tnai. Afilo iskayim atnai, yemay sakayim, and so on. And then he talks about davar she'afshar lekayimo ayde shliach, also being a similar idea, but tnai kofel and tnai umaisa b'shnei devarim, that's, you know, more of a linguistic thing and so on. Again, in all the mishpatei tnaim, it's not for now, but in all the mishpatei tnaim, you have to figure out, you know, what is a formal requirement. It's, you call it, you know, dotting I's and crossing T's, or, and what is, you know, more about the relationship between the tnai and the maisa. Well, we'll discuss some of this when we talk about tnai bonus and avgimel in ksuas. Anyways, the point is that what it's also saying, that there is a logical relationship between Efshar b'shlichus and Efshar b'tanai. But now we still have to figure out what's going on. So what does this talk about the Kiddushei Bia and Chalitza, etc. So if you look at this whole thing as a kind of Gzeres HaKasu, you know, so then certainly we understand the question in Kiddushei Bia, and then the answer in Kiddushei Bia is Ishkas Habayos LaHadadi. Everything is going to rest just on the factual question whether or not shlichus works or doesn't work in this particular case. Now, does it matter why shlichus doesn't work or works in a particular case? If you were to take the Gzeres HaKasuv type approach of the sugya, the answer is probably not. In the end of the day, kol she'eshna b'shlichus, she'eshna b'tanai, kol she'eshna b'shlichus, she'eshna b'tanai. So, even if the reason that it was Eina B'Shlichos was because, let's say, it's a Davar Shebegufo, technically, right? So, even then you might say, well, that's the way it is, and Kol She'eshna B'Shlichos, Eishna B'Tanai. Kiddushei Bia certainly is a Davar Shebegufo, highly physically personal, obviously, and then you could ask yourself the question about Chuppah. Is Chuppah highly personal and physical? Well, maybe that depends on how you define chuppah. Let's say I were to tell you that chuppah hainu ichud, say according to the Rambam. So, is a shlichus be ichud? Right? Certainly not. And that would be obviously, you know, both absurd and obscene, you know, at the same time. Just like there can't be, you know, not as bad, but there can't be shlichus l'kiddushei bia. Right, so then the question would be, and do you have, well, you have Iska Shavayis LaDadi, you know, that's an exception. And if we're interpreting according to this perspective, what we're saying is, you know, the whole thing is a kind of Gzeres HaKasuv, and therefore there can be an exception based on Gzeres HaKasuv, Iska Shavayis LaDadi. So then you have to ask yourselves, is Chuppah also under the rubric of Havayis LaDadi? Well, that partially depends on our issue, but in a different way, right? It's not one of the Gimel Darkei HaKiddushin, certainly. It is Barishus, right? However, the better way to read the whole Gemara is, and by the way, how does this fit in with the Chalitza? So fine, with Chalitza, all you need to say is that Chalitza is also a Davar Shebegufo, right? Because of the, you know, Rikika, and maybe even the Kriya, right? Chalitza is, you know, a highly personal, again, interaction, you know, between the, you know, between the Isha and the Baal, like her expressing, you know, disappointment and upset, you know, at him, and Kol She'eshna B'Shlichus Eishna B'Tanai, Kol She'eshna B'Shlichus Eishna B'Tanai. Right? The other way to read the Gemara, according to the perspective of Bali Tosis, is that this is not at all, you know, arbitrary, right? The idea is that when something is nitan l'shlichos, then it isn't just a physical action. That's number one. It's not just not a davar shebegufo. It's more than that. It's a delegatable action, right? It's something you can have jurisdiction over, all things being good. There are different types of shlichus, and we're not going to go into that right now. But generally speaking, shlichus implies a certain samchut. Rab Chaim went even further, and again, this is me pi Hashmua, but Rab Chaim used to think that the reason that ain't shlichus is the Dvar Aveira, and what those gemaras mean. You know, it's the gemaras in the Bava Tzi and Daf Yud and others, and you know, Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, and you know, Bar Chiyuva, in Bar Chiyuva, is you don't have bailus to do an aveira. Right, that's important for people to understand all year round, and certainly, you know, as we approach Rosh Hashanah. Right, it's not biyadcha to do averos, and you can't have other people do averos on your behalf. You can't delegate averos. You don't have any jurisdiction over them. You're not supposed to be doing them. Right? Very important yesod. So, ein shliach dvar aveira isn't a technicality. It's also a function. Reb Chaim thought that ein shliach dvar mitzvah and ein shliach dvar aveira are two sides of the same coin. Not everybody agrees about either. But certainly not about both. But, right? And again, typically, people, the Tosas Rid and then the Kos, say the Ein Shliach Bar Mitzvah because it's Dovah Shebegufo. Putting tefillin on his tefillin on your arm, clearly there's no tziruf, and it's a Dovah Shebegufo. And that part is clear. But it's more than that. Right? In a Sias Mitzvah, to do your mitzvah, all things being equal, your physical mitzvah, not only is it not the tziruf, and not only is it a Dovah Shebegufo, but you don't have some chut. You can't authorize or delegate. There's no tziruf to you, and it's also not a jurisdictionable or delegatable action. That's the point. That's kind of what Tosas is saying here. Tosas is saying you need to be bailim. I can have Ruvain be mekadesh and isha for me, or be megarish my wife, because I do a bailus on that decision making action. A, it isn't a purely physical action. B, it's about jurisdiction. It's my life. Right? I can have somebody acquire something for my estate, and I can have somebody be my representative. I can authorize somebody to act on my behalf, right, to develop, you know, the formalities of a relationship. That's what shlichus is all about. And what is t'nai? T'nai is the ability to impose conditions, right? It means that when, in again, if you have a purely physical act, or something which you, either way, a davar shebegufo, a davar d'mimela, or something which you have no control over, right? So, obviously you can't impose conditions on it. Either you're not in a position to, right? Turn it into like some, you know, high-powered negotiation, and all of a sudden, you know, the weak party imposes conditions. That's more of a question of leverage, but you know, so you're not in a position to do that. You don't have control here. Right. Okay, that's already where objectively you don't know who has or doesn't have control, and that's a circumstantial thing. But what I'm saying is, in an area where al pi din you don't have control, you can't impose t'nai. And in an area where the physical action, you know, has its own momentum, right? It's either valid or invalid. Then the t'nai can't, you know, qualify it. It's either considered an action or not. That's what Tosas is saying with these words, right? Hova ma'isa kolkach biyado shiyach l'kaim al yedei shliach svaru shihei kamochein biyado l'shav yibay t'na. Ava chalit ha'shem biyado l'kaim al yedei shliach l'hava biyado nami l'mir mibay t'na. So basically, according to this reading of the Gemara, the Gemara is not saying chalit is a davar shebegufo mimela. Factually, there's no t'nai. And then the Gemara is saying, but what about Kiddush Shabbia? And then the Gemara is saying, you're right, it's an exception to the rule. It can have exceptions to the rule because the rule itself isn't so intuitive. Right? It's Gzeiras HaKosuv. So it's Gzeiras HaKosuv exception. Rather, what the Gemara is saying is, Chalitza is not a Maisa Bailus. It's a physical, or it's not really physical act, it's a limit, it's a matir. And it's not, and it's defined by the action. It's a limited physical action in the legal role that it plays. And therefore it's not yeshna b'shlichus, and it's not yeshna b'tanai. So then the Gemara turns around and asks, what about Kiddushe Bia? So now there are two ways to, even according to this perspective. Either the Gemara is saying the other perspective at this point. The Gemara says, well, but Lamaisa, there's no Shlichos here. Isn't that what this is all about? Or the Gemara already knew that, and it's not even asking that. What the Gemara is saying is, maybe Kiddushe Bia is fundamentally different than the other Kiddushins. Because the other Kiddushins, Kesef and Shtar, are Mamoni oriented. They're all about, you know, creating a chalos, right? They need to be transformed, and they are transformed into something more formalized and legalized in a matter of jurisdiction at Bailus. Maybe Kiddushe Bia is a more natural but also more limited and physical kind of Kiddushin. And therefore, when it comes to Kiddushe Bia, you should say Kol She'esh B'Shlichus Yesh B'Tanai Kol She'esh B'Shlichus Yesh B'Tanai. Right? Either way, according to this perspective, what's the Gemara's answer? Iskash Havayos Ladani. So again, according to one of these two, if the Gemara was saying, oh well, Kiddushe Bia is, that's more physical, that's more like Chalitza. So the Gemara is saying, Da'afal Pichain Iskash Havayos Ladani. But you're right. Or more likely, what the Gemara is saying is, you know, Kiddushe Bia, of course there's no shlichus, but that's because technically it's a davar shebegufo. Not because fundamentally the chalos, that the ishus that you're creating of Kiddushe Bia is a different ishus. It might be a different mechanism, but it's not a different in terms of being a maitza bailus or yitziras chalos ishus. That's what we mean by iska shabayas ladadi. Meaning, if the only problem is a physical one, davar shebegufo, but it doesn't have implications that this is a maisa de mimela, or a non-bailus kind of a maisa. And here, you don't even have to say that it's yitziras achalos, because most kinyanim are not yitziras achalos, they're just maisa bailut. Ishus is even much more than that, as we know. But then the point is, that's the Gemara's answer, iska shavayis la'adadi. Meaning the question is based on a narrow conception of either Kiddushe Bia or of this rule, and the answer is the rule is like Tosis, and Iska Shavayis Lavadi is telling you that the Bailus and the Chalos of Kiddushe Bia is identical to the others. Okay? Now the question is, and what are you going to say about Chuppah? So, on the physical side of Chuppah, I would say the following. If Chuppah is Hainu Yichud, like the Rabbah, there's certainly no Shlichus L'Chuppah. I said that's obscene and absurd. Let's say shlichus. Let's say the chuppah is mesiras ha'av l'shluchay abal.
It's a mishnah.
What?
Then it's a mishnah.
Then it's a mishnah. Okay, it is a mishnah mem chesam al, as we've discussed. So then, for sure, it's yeshna b'tanai. Shua. Exactly. So what we might say, in other words, again, to take a step back, exactly the point. In other words, what if you take the more technical understanding of Kol She'esh B'Shlichus Yesh B'Tanai, which is kind of the route that the Or Sameach certainly begins to follow, right? So then you might just say, oh, it depends whether or not physically you can do Nisuin Alidei Shliach, and then you might come to one of two opposite conclusions. Interesting opposite, you know, extremes. Well, according to the Rambam, the answer is there's no Tanai, because it's Darshan Mekufo. According to the Rishonim, we think that the Mishnah, Mem Chesam and Aleph, is the fundamental description of what, you know, Chuppah is. It's a Mishnah, like you said, it's a Mishnah, it's Yeshua B'Shlichus Lagamri, for sure it's Yeshua B'Tanai. But if you take not the narrow approach of reading this Gemara, but the, you know, the more, you know, legal approach. So then you might go, ironically, in opposite, you might say, even according to the Rambam, it's true you can't have shlichus b'yichud. That is certainly absurd. But that might be like isko shavayis ladadi. Right? Not, I don't mean the gzeres hakasav sense. What I mean is, lemaisa, of course, you can't have shlichus, but that's not a problem of kol she'esh b'shlichus yesh b'tanai. It's only a problem in yesh b'shlichus yesh b'tanai when the inability to do shlichus has to do with the fact that you're not a bilim, it's not a maisa bilim, it's not a jurisdictional element. If the problem is strictly physical, meaning having to do with the Hagdara, then that's not a problem. So you might say, even according to the Rambam, unless you think that having that Hagdara already tells you that it's not a maisa bilim, it's not a maisa kinyan, and so on, which may very well be. But per se, the fact that physically, from a davashu begufo, technically, that there's no shlichos is not going to bother you per se, unless that physical dimension happens also to reflect on the other part of it. Similarly, you might say exactly the opposite, right? The Mishnah says a memchesam alf mosar ha'av l'shluchei habal, but is that that's not shluchos shalom kimoso? Certainly, that means that our people can be involved. There are other people that can be involved in the act of chuppah. True, but that's not shluchos shalom kimoso. What is it about? Shlomo. Mosar av l'shluchei habal l'shluchos shalom kimoso. It depends on the parshios and truma, atem gam atem. What do you think? What?
Doesn't seem to be the same thing.
Doesn't seem to be the same. What is it then? You can't just say it isn't the same thing. You got to tell me what it is.
It's an intermediary, not necessarily a real
tension. It's the handing over. It's chila for shuyos, basically, not in the Shabbos sense, but right. Meaning it's handing with the symbol of her moving from one jurisdiction to another. Masar av l'shluchei habal. What it matters whether or not the people, let's say a katan would walk the, this is about a katana. The question is whether it's only limited to a katana. Let's say a katan, or an akum, or somebody else who doesn't have shlichos and shulchoshanu kamosa because of atem gam atem would escort the isha. From her family home into her new surroundings. That wouldn't work in terms of Masar Ha'av L'Shulchei Habal. Right? Hard to believe. Right? Why? Because it's not about Shluchos Shalom Kimoso. It's not the Shlichus that reflects Bailus, and an agent partially independent, how kamoso, how shlucho, that whole discussion, that's a din shlucho shonim kamoso. That's, atem gam atem. What the Mishnah is describing, presumably, is not that. Oh, they're the shlichim of the av. They are, but in a totally different way. Meaning, it's the changing of the guard, right? Or the changing of jurisdiction. So even if physically this would be something, a technique, but it's not Shluchos Shalom Kimoso. That doesn't mean they're Tanoim. What determines whether there's Shlichos in some cases or Tanai in other cases will be the question that we're asking about Enikiyum, the question that we're asking about Katana, the question that we're asking about Das, and so on. Namely, do we view this as a Maisa de Mimela? Right? Or something that you can tack Tanoim onto, and that is nitan l'shlichos. Okay. So having said that, so that leaves us with one other thing I wanted to discuss in this context. Again, we're going to get back to some of these other things, but I think what's left is the question of chuppah as a kinyan. Oh, no, I'm sorry. One more thing. And that, of course, leads right into this. We've talked about it already, but just to get it on the record very quickly. And that is the Gemara Daf Yud. Right, kala mekadesh, kala boel, right, ein daito ella al gemar bia. Okay, so we've already spent some time with this, right? The gemar daf yud amud aleph is mistapek, or the tchilas bia kone or so, bia kone, hara, usually. And the gemara seems to say that kiddushe bia only works, right, besof bia, not tchilas bia. Question is, we know from the gemara in Yevamos that hara, kicha kicha, hara works be'ishus. So the question is how to square those two things. And the Bali Tosus, earlier even Rav Nissim Gon, right, to the Rambam and the Rif, everybody joins this discussion to try to figure out how to resolve this apparent stira between the two Gemaras. And they say different things. And the different things that they say are very important. Very important. Okay, but for our purposes right now, What's particularly important is Rav Nissim Gaon, the Rambam, and the Rif, all of whom say that there's a difference between Kiddushin and Nisim. And once again, the question is twofold, right? Why, and what we make of that distinction. Number two, since it's based on a reading the Gemara on Yevamos, Kicha Kicha, right? So what happened to Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron and all of that? Those are the two questions. Right. So with regard to the first issue, that's where Reb Chaim jumps in. Again, in theory, one could say that the difference between Tchila and Sof, you know, has to do with some of the other issues that we've talked about. The Tziruf problem, right? The Hemsheikh of the standards of phase one. Right? Those are all very legitimate reasons, you know, to make the distinction here. I think Yehoshua pointed out to me that the Mabit in the Kiryat Sefer links, when he wants to explain the Shita of the Rambam and Rav Nissim Gaon, etc., says, oh, it's just like Yibum, because Yibum has Zika. Right? So here too. So that could be a Mitzaref idea. I'm not sure if that's what the Mabit has in mind, but it certainly works very nicely.
I think Rav Nissim Gaon said that.
Oh, they said explicitly?
When the Rif quotes that there, he says
he also quotes a comparison to Zika?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Yeah. You have language?
Yeah. Oh,
okay, good. So that part's from Rav Nissim Gaon. Or the Rif's expansion of Rav Nissim Gaon. Okay, the Ram doesn't say anything like that, but yeah. Okay, excellent, very good. So again, how do we... Yeah? So how do we explain that? So you could say it from the Tziruf point of view, basically. Or, you know, what it might mean is, you know, what we were talking about before, which is that when it comes to Yetziras HaChalos, right, you know, the both in terms of Kenyan and so on, so then Ein Taito Elo Gmar Bia. When it comes to Nisuin, Chuppa, right, all you need is the physical Maisa Demimit. We see from Arayos, we see from Yibum, again, where you don't have those issues because you're carrying forward some other chalos, you're stepping into another situation, or where you just require the hagdara, say in Arayos and so on, that hara is considered to be a ma'isa bia. So that second way is the way Reb Chaim in the stencils understood it. Basically, this merges with our last point. In other words, can your physical tanai also redefine for you what constitutes, you know, Maisa Bia? Right. The answer is only if you're a Bailim. Right? Not if what you're doing is a physical Maisa de Mimela, which happens simply to be Matir. So basically, Daito al Gemar Bia is just a foreign concept when it comes to Nisuin, if you take this perspective. Again, for the Rambam who holds this way, and who omits Erikiyum, and who seems to be, you know, projecting a discrepancy in terms of Das, and who, you know, again, you know, seems to treat Ketana differently, and so on and so forth, and whose view of, you know, Chuppah, at least in terms of a good chunk of it, is Yichud, right? The pattern of all these things, you know, implying that Chuppah is a very, very different phase and stage, not just the completion, but a totally different and non-Kinyan oriented concept, you know, seems to emerge with pretty great clarity. So I wanted to finish off, again I'll have to, I guess, spend a couple minutes next time, but just what I want to do is I want to speak very quickly also about whether Chuppah as a standalone, whether it's spoken of as a Kinyan, and whether it's treated as a Kinyan. Okay, and then in three, I guess, different senses. Number one, or different contexts, do we ever find that chuppah is called a kinyan? right? So I give you a couple of marmakomos to look at, you know, in that regard. Okay, for example, Ellie? Yeah, Gemara and Ksuvis, which talks about, and again, the context of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which we know from our Ksuva talk, right? Yeah, so the Gemara wants to know whether Chippas Chuppa or Chippas Bias Konet. There, the specific allusion is to Tosefes Ksuva. Now, it's important always to, you know, to put your finger on each application. For two reasons. Number one, you know, is it a melitza bialma? We talked about, you know, the melitza problem, right? Kones atzma begedu b'misas habal, right? Is that a matir, or is it, or a hafgos kinyan, or is it really a kinyan atzmo, right? You know, eshes Eliyahu, you know, that's the, you know, famous discussion of the Trumas Hadeshen, and there's a lot of evidence back and forth. Is misa really a matir? And we talked about whether ged is really a kinyan, right? So it's hard to know, but it's still worth looking at. So chibas bia kona or chibas chupa kona is an important language. At the same time, we're talking about tosefes ksuva. We're not even talking about the ksuva. We're talking about tosefes ksuva. So maybe that's just part of the hischaivus, and it has nothing to do with chupa per se. It has to do, you know, with reading, you know, his mind about this hischaivus. Yeah.
And it's also smart of the Gemara that just said, and we're trying to figure out when he has Kirva Das. Right? Like the whole Gemara before is like about
Unjanos. So there might be more Schaibus oriented. Right? Or you want to say the other way?
No, I'm saying
I. Yeah. I'm saying, so it happens to be an interesting lashon, but the context and the application both, I agree with you, may ruin it for us. On the other hand, a much, much, much more important. Or two more important applications or contexts are Chaim. What else do we have there? This discussion whether of Chuppah in the language of Kenya. Another Gemara than in Mar Makomos. Did you get through it all yet? Or two others.
There's your shoulder.
What? Well, Yerushalmi. One is Yerushalmi, and the other one is a Bavli. Who's the Bavli first? What's the Bavli? Excellent. Avram's quoting the right Gemara. That's the Gemara where? Kedushin daf Hayamid Aleph to Hayamid Beis. The Gemara's mistapek whether or not Chuppa is Kone b'Kedushin. A very fascinating Gemara. Right, so we're just going to look at the next time when we meet. Tomorrow is just is in Yanei Rosh Hashanah for the whole yeshiva, and then when we meet again, Tzom Gedalia, we'll spend a few more minutes on this, and then we're going to move on to the Kiddushin, Mitzvahs Kiddushin, and that other group. And again, I really want to try to at least start the Mishnah straight before. So we'll just move very quickly if we can next week. You know, just to start going. You know, at least the Mishnah and Rashi Tosas and all of that before the break. But the Gemara has the discussion, Shakavatari, whether Chuppa is going to be effective. There'll be Kesef Shtar, Bia, and Chuppa. So what's the Avram, what's the nature of the Safek? What's the Kal B'Chomer or whatever? Right, Chuppa, what's Chuppa's credential?
It's Gomer.
Oh, so this is very important. Again, we'll look at the Lashon of the Gemara, and the Rishonim really kind of are really struggling here. In the whole Shaka Vitaria, back and forth, right? But Chuppa, which is Gomer, that's when the Gemara wants to characterize Chuppa in its normal role, they don't usually call it a Kone. They call it a Gomer. Now, what does that mean? Gomer a Kinyan, or it's a Gomer, it's a Matir, meaning it's not a Kinyan at all. But since it's Gomer, should that be a good reason for it to be Kone? Well, I mean, if they're fundamentally different, being a Gomer and being a Kona, then probably not. Right? Just because something can do X doesn't mean, you know, maybe X, you know, A can do X and B can do Y, you know, because they're particularly suited each to their function. That's why the whole Shaka Vitaria is so fascinating. Right? Just because something is Gomer and the other something else isn't Gomer, that's a Kal V'Chomer, then it should be Kona. But maybe that's exactly what the Gemara is struggling to figure out. Right? At one point, the Gemara says, well, Hatzara Shava Shabahem, right? The Shneim Konim. So at one point the Gemara thinks that the Gomer, even in its Gomer function, is being Konim. Right? In the end of the day, how does that work, Lamaskana? I mean, what about the prospects of Kesef being Gomer? Right? That's a parallel to this question. Maybe Chuppah can be Kone, and maybe Kesef can be Gomer. Right? So, the more we think that Kiddushin and Nisuin are phases that work together, but that work in totally different ways, the more we would think that they're just not, there's no Kal v'Chomer, and they're not interchangeable at all. Maybe that's what the Gemara is basically telling us, Lamaskana. Moreover, one should note that the Gemara there, according to Rashi and the Riyaz Zaken at least, is not talking about a typical Chuppah. Avram, you notice that? According to Rashi? What does Rashi keep emphasizing? Shalom? What? Rashi there? Did you notice? Gabi? Ellie? What this will David? Is the Gemara discussing the role of Chuppah generally, or the role of Chuppah in a Ketana, where the father is Moser her for Kiddushin? Right? In the Gemara, one would think that anybody, right? What does Rashi say? Rabbi? Yeah. Rashi and the Riyaz Zaken, a bunch of Rishonim assume, for some reason, that the Shakla V'Tari of the Gemara is talking about a father and a daughter. Is it possible that the only way that the Gemara was even thinking, you know, that Chuppah could be Koneh, that Chuppah could be a substitute for Kiddushin, or is considered to be a parallel, you know, equivalent kind of a thing, is when the Ishus side is, as we've said before, is kind of, you know, more problematic or less pronounced, and Dafka, the Mamanus side, or the Kinyan side, the father's jurisdiction, you know, his Rishus, is more pronounced, right? So there, the Gemara is playing around whether or not there's a kol shekein, and so on. But if you were to ask about, you know, chuppah hayna yichud of the Rambam, would the Gemara still be so enthusiastic? Okay, so that's one area that's worth looking at for now. The other area with this we conclude is Isaac.
Shabbos.
Correct. What about chuppah b'Shabbos, which is the discussion, as somebody here said before, of Yerushalmi. Right, Yerushalmi discusses whether or not chuppah taking place on Shabbos is a violation of the Isad Rabbanon of Kinyan b'Shabbos or not. And what's interesting about that is two things. Number one, whether or not we accept that Yerushalmi or not. Interesting. B, the formulations in the Yerushalmi, and by that I mean two things. Number one, Kikona Kinyan b'Shabbos, Kinyan Gomer Hu, Vasar b'Shabbos, what's the language? And B, what are the expressions of Chuppah? What is it about Chuppah? What is it about what Chuppah accomplishes that reflects that it's a Kinyan? So if you look at the various formulations in the different Makoros, they quote different things, raising the possibility that maybe Chuppah is not a single monolithic or integrated idea. This we've talked about before anyway. We're going to have to speak about this when we talk about the Rambam and other things. Maybe there's more than one definition of Chuppah. Right? Maybe the monetary side of Chuppah is different than the, you know, completion of the Ishus on the Matir side, you know, of Chuppah. So maybe the emphasis of different things in terms of the problem of Kekona Kinyan b'Shabbos highlights that. Well, if I gave you the choice, you know, how do you want to demonstrate that chuppah is considered to be a kinyan such that it should be Asur b'Shabbos, what would you choose? Tumah? Nedarim? Right? Mizonos? Yerusha? Right? What would you choose? Ksuva? Heter Isha Labala? Right? So what happens to be on the list right, happened. I gave you a few examples. I'm sure there are more of them, more combinations. But so that's what I want to go through quickly, and then I want to talk about mitzvahs, kiddushin, v'nisuin. That would be on Tzom Gedalia, which is Sunday. Okay, but tomorrow there'll be a lot of shiurim in the yeshiva and in Yanei. Apparently, quite a lot. Yeah. Okay. Is that the last one?